Okay.
So we're good to go.
Yep.
So we're going to kick off with one of my poems, which
anyway,
I'm going to have to read because there's no sound, but there's plenty of images. So this is called Restoration, a poem of hope by me. So 89% of men incarcerated in the US have never known or had any type of relationship with their father. That's a staggering thing, isn't it? Strike the shepherd and the flock will flee.
Amen.
And wander through the night. Wander, oh so aimlessly, with no vision or no sight. Like a compass with no needle, or course to steer us true, or a lantern to light the way of the things we must go through. Where are the founding fathers to lead us in our steps, to see us through rough waters and avoid the hidden depths, to point us in a heading of safe harbours we can stay, to bring comfort to the weary, to see a better day. So I pondered long and hard through the ages, through the days of ages past, for hope to be my anchor, for something that would last, to lift my head and secure the heart. I look back or search back for a time where we all lived in harmony and everything was fine. Tell me, what does it take to break the path of ages, of generations trod, to find an open highway for men to believe in God, to throw off the rags of yesteryear and shine with new attire, to find my feet on solid ground, delivered from the mire, for the rough places to be smooth and the crooked places straight, to understand forgiveness, ransomed from fear and hate, to embrace a new tomorrow, to know the King of Kings, to rise above one's sorrow and learn again to sing. That's it. You could just knock that off then, please. Knock it off, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I was going to be able to get it up on the internet,
right.
So I brought my book, and my poem's in the back of my book. Anybody like to read my book? There you go. And when you finish with it, pass it on to somebody else.
Okay. Down there.
Oh, hang on.
So.
Right.
My goodness, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Yeah. So today, as we were worshipping, there were lots of words that were jumping out at me, because some of those words are basically in some of the text that I'm going to read today. So Exodus 33, if you want a title for today, it's the God of distance and the God of detail, because God is both.
Yeah.
So Exodus 33, verse 11. Excuse me a second. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know who wilt thou send with me? Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. If thou hast found grace in my sight, therefore I pray thee. Sorry, a second. And chapter 14, and it says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So verse 18, this is jumping forward a little bit more. And he said, this is Moses speaking, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I'll paraphrase this a little bit here. So the Lord says to Moses, you know, you can't see my face, but what I will do is cause my goodness, which actually says, cause all my goodness to pass before you.
Yeah.
And he places him in a cleft of a rock, covers him with his hand, and he says, well, I'm trying to find that now, this bit. That's right. And he will make thine hand, he will take away his hand, and thou wilt see thy back parts, but my face you shall not see.
Yeah.
Right, so Moses was looking for the glory of God. He knew something about what he'd seen in walking with God. He'd seen, you know, the waters parting. He'd seen his staff turning into a snake. He's seen his leprous hand and being healed again. And he saw all the things of God that were miraculous. And he stood as a cloud by the tabernacle door. The presence of God stood as a cloud by the tabernacle door. And he says, show me your glory. And he says, I can't show you my glory, but I'll show you all of my goodness.
Yeah.
So we know that some of the glory of God, because they are they are interwoven. The glory of God and the goodness of God are interwoven.
Yeah.
So we know in the Old Testament, when the priest offered a sacrifice, that a cloud would descend and consume the sacrifice. And this is called the Shekinah glory of God. It's like another type of the glory of God. And then there's the bit in 2 Chronicles where it says that the priests could not stand or minister because the glory of God had descended like a cloud, and so they could not minister. Actually, it's 1 Chronicles 5:14. So again, this is part of the glory of God. It's the weight that fell, that no man could stand or minister. But the greatest demonstration of the glory of God is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Yeshua God, given for us. God's glory, his greatest gift, poured out for you and me. Freely, freely given. It's awesome when you think about it. So in Romans it says, for God demonstrates his love for us in this, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The glory of God.
Thank you, Lord.
When you think about, it's like as you get older, you think about some of the rubbish you've done and some of the stupid ways that you've behaved, and yet God still loves us.
Amen.
He's the God of distance and he's the God of detail. So in the book of Job, if I can jump forward to that, if we'll just have a second while I recalibrate my phone. Right, so here we are. Verse 7.
Which chapter, Alex?
11. Thank you, John. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as the heavens. What can thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also, will he not consider it? I'm jumping forward a little bit here. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands towards him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then thou shalt lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget the misery and remember it as waters that have passed by. And then it goes on to say, and then thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt not take thy rest. Sorry, this is the old King James. And then it finishes off by saying, and thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, they shall make suit unto thee. That doesn't sound like they're going to make a suit, but it says, basically it means suitor. It comes from the word suitor. It means they will pursue you. They'll pursue you because of the wisdom that you carry, because God has dealt with you in a beautiful way. So it talks about, like, you know, distance and detail. And when you come to look at the universe, the size of the universe, it says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Right, so the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the universe is the Lord's and everything in it.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of scientific knowledge. I might have shared some of this before. So if the earth is a golf ball in relation, okay, so if the earth is a golf ball, our sun in relation to it is 15 meters across. 15 meters high, 15 meters across, right? And it burns 600 million tons of hydrogen and helium in a fusion explosion every second. So that's some power, isn't it? But it is hot, yeah. But our sun is a dwarf. It's a little one. Would you believe it? This man knows. And so, there is, in our Milky Way, there is a planet. Actually, it's not a planet, it's a star.
Yeah.
And it's a what they call a gas giant. It's a red giant. And if the Earth is a golf ball and our sun is 15 meters across, this star called Canis Majoris, big dog, is 36 miles high, 36 miles across, and that's just on the edge of our solar system, or the Milky Way, I should say. So, has anybody ever been to Swindon?
Yes.
How far is Swindon, do you know?
400 miles?
60 miles. 60 miles from Coventry, yeah. 60 miles. It's quite a distance, 60 miles. So if you can think of the universe as being like a trip to Swindon, okay? And I'm going to demonstrate something with this piece of A4 paper. If you were to go to Coventry Station and walk to the very end of the platform, you've got your ticket to Swindon, and you put your piece of paper that way, like that, across the end of the platform, and that would represent our solar system. Right?
Yeah.
The next solar system to us is called Andromeda. And
that's a galaxy.
Yeah, it is a galaxy. Well done, yes. Yeah, and it would be in relation to us that size.
Another piece of paper.
From the breadth of the width of the paper to the length of the paper in relation. And if we were to go then all the way to Swindon, we would get how big the universe is. So in our solar system, there's lots of planets and there's lots of stars. And just to give you an idea, just across our solar system, the thinness of the paper would take you 3,000 years just to get across there.
The thickness of the paper.
Wow. 3,000 years. That's quite a... Yes, sir?
Just walking.
No. You can travel at speed if you know how to travel at speed, because God's created this thing called light. 186,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light.
Yeah.
So when you think that the universe, which is, I believe, is about 13.2
billion.
Billion. No, million.
Distance, George.
Oh. Light years away. So if you were to travel for 365 days at 186,000 miles per second, you would get there in 13.2 years. Who knows? All I know is, all I know is it belongs to the Lord, and it's His train set. It's His. We don't understand it. Scientists don't understand it, but it's His train set. Now, so He's the God of distance, but He's also the God of detail. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows, has intimate knowledge. He knows how many hairs are on your head. In fact, they're numbered. So if number 776 falls out, He knows which one it is. That talks about intimate detail. God has intimate detail about you. So getting back to, Job. Job says this strange thing, and it says about waters. Sometimes we go through difficult periods where we don't understand what's going on, but we're going through some sort of trial, we're going through something that is painful, that it, you know, causes us misery. That's what it says, misery. It causes us misery. But God says, the promise of God is that He'll never leave us or forsake us. Never, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. He does not repay me according to my iniquity. If He mark transgression, who withstand? See, God has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west, not north to south, because you come to the poles, but east and west are two destinations that never meet. They just keep going. So he says this in Job's about the waters. If you can imagine that you're standing by a river, right, and it's like part of your life, something happens at that point and it's painful, right? God's promise to you is, you shall remember it like waters that have passed by. So the river is gradually going away until that incident is out of sight. You remember it. But God's removed the pain. God's removed the obstacle. You've overcome it. It's like when a woman goes into travail, when she's in labor, says that she gives birth to a son or a daughter, and she is delighted, and she remembers her pain no more. And that's what God is saying to us, that, you know, whatever difficulties we're going through, whatever hardships we have to endure, God is with us, and he will see us out to the other side. He will be good to us.
Yeah.
Not because of us, but because of who he is.
Yeah.
He is a good God. He's a good father. So let me just go back then to where we started. Exodus 34. So that was 33 we started, but looking in with 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of upon the fathers and the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So when Moses heard God speaking like this, he'd shown him his goodness, he'd shown him his glory. Moses' reaction was, he made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. So, when you see God, you will worship.
Praise God. It's good to remember, isn't it, just how big our God is, and also how much he cares for the details of our lives.